We are in Parakei up to Mishnah Ches, which we had learned inside, and we're up to the commentary on the bottom. Basically, the Mishnah said that for different Averis related to the mitzvahs that have to do with the land, whether it's a failure to give proper Meiser or Challah, or Peir Shvius, certain punishments come, as well as a failure to keep proper dinim, proper batei dinim. So up to the commentary on the bottom, page?
Kuf Pei Gimel,
okay. Shiva Mine Purani Aizbon La'ilam. Now, he doesn't go on the particulars, but on the rule. The rule is seven types of punishments, Ba'in La'ilam, come to the world. Lashon Ba'in, Mashma Me'atzman. It doesn't say God punishes. It says these punishments, they arrive. They arrive on the scene. So what is that language meant to teach? Ha'inyan kihine. Nimtza b'raisa Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, minyani gehenim. There exists a b'raisa Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi describing gehenim. She'yafiel Hashem l'gaydle yisurei gehenim. Somebody who studies it becomes worried about the different pains of gehenim. It seems something strange. Where is the mercy of God? God has mercy. And there is this thing in the back of most people's minds that after all is done and we come upstairs and we meet God, we'll just talk nicely to him and somehow we'll, you know, like a grandpa, he'll give us a hug and a kiss and he'll say everything is fine. There is that certain type of harikish, that feeling. Why isn't it so? Like, after everything is finished. So, like, what's the purpose already in punishing? So he explains, Ki ein ze klal al derech ha'einish. It's not in the manner of a punishment. Rakamay shomer akasav, Rishoyim tirdoif ra. Rishoyim, well, in this, what? Chatoyim
has it.
Chatoyim tirdoif ra? As if to say that the punishment itself, the aveira itself, pursues the person. For Rishoyim, gehenim is deepened. What the pasuk is saying is that there's certain mitzias which chait causes. Chait causes a metzias. Or eshchem, the fire of your flame. Ki bechatoim oisin lehem eishal gehenna ba'atzmam. But nefesh chait has, he be gehenna b'chayim, he anachar achait. Beinah demagish. In this world we don't feel it. L'chein omar p'rionei z'boim. Ratzalim mi'atzmahim boim. So the word is p'rionei z'boim lo'aylam. It's not a punishment in the sense that someone does something bad, so you punish the person. But the Aveira itself brings misfortune upon a person. Rav Shor used to phrase it, it's always nicer when you phrase it in a positive way. He said, we say, both in Berchus Kayanim and Esim Shalayim, which follows Berchus Kayanim, we say, Ki ba'ar panecha, nasat lanu, Hashem alakenu, Teres Chayim, Yavas Chesed, Utsdaka, Vracha, Verachanim. So he said that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oyer, where the countenance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, Memela Bracha exists. If Yor Hashem Panav Elecha, Yichuneka, Hashem will shine His face upon you, and then there'll be Chayin. So that, it's the idea that if a person brings the Ar Hashem, Memela, the Bracha follows. It's sort of a part of the deal. Part of the deal of this world is that if you drop a glass on the floor, it breaks. And if you do a mitzvah, it brings bracha.
I understand. What's the difference when Hashem says, you lose a very old punish, or Hashem says, I'm setting up the world, if you lose a very, you'll be punished. What's the difference?
There's really no difference, except in the human hergish of it, in the human feeling of it. Because we seem to feel otherwise that it's a decision made later, and here it's... And the truth is, many of the psukim, especially in Navi, express it as a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishing. But the idea that he's trying to explain is that it's part of the Seder Habriya. I mentioned to you in the past, Rabbi Miller put it very well. He said that after a person dies, he wants to go to the to the big celebration in heaven. But if his teeth are rotten, so he first has to go to the dentist, and they drill, and it hurts. Rabbi Miller explained in detail how it hurts. I don't know if he had the experience. But explained how, ouch, it hurt, you know. And then his teeth get fixed, and then he could go to the party. So he said the same thing as Olam Haba. The person has stains on his soul, so he first has to go through the laundry machine, and the machine cleans it off, and then he can come to the Masifta Derikia. Now it refers to Shiva Gufei Aveira. Interesting thing here. The seven types of Averas. Gufim are bodies. The seven bodies of Aveira. What does that mean? Remez Belashani Atar Gufei Aveira. What is the language of Gufei Aveira? Ki Amazikin Nivru Berav Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. We learned earlier that Mazikin, punishments, were created Ben Hashmashas Erev Shabbos. That's a concept. There was no physical creation of the punishment, just conceptually. And the concept remained without any physical presence. So that was God's intent. A man with every aveira he does, he creates a body for the mazik. So Hashem is gufi aveira. So he's saying is the concept of aveira exists. It has no body. A person doesn't have aveira. He gives it a body,
like
sort of.
Get a chance to finish it.
Like yeah, bechavana bechuvenes Hashem. It's like you know the dibbik, whether it exists this way or not. The idea that there's a soul floating around waiting to bother someone who doesn't have aveira. So whether there are or were dibbiks or not, the point is that the negativity is there, and if a person grabs it, then he has the negativity. The truth is, that to a certain degree, I don't know if it's just my point of reference, or it's really this way, but you look at a human being who's doing well, and he has a certain presence, a certain joy in life, a certain happiness, and someone who's making trouble has a certain, it just has a different face about him. Hard to explain. I once had an eighth grader in the yeshiva approach me. He actually made an appointment to talk to me. It was very unusual. And he asked me the following question. He said that his class is splitting between the group that is interested in learning and the group that's interested in making trouble. And so this is what the boy asked me, a very intelligent boy. He said, I know you're going to tell me to learn, but I want to ask you, where am I going to be happier? I'm going to be happier having a good time with the boys making trouble or buckling down and learning? That's what he asked me. Very interesting question. So I asked him, who's happier in high school? The boy who walks in and is hiding from the principal? The boy who walks in and greets the principal happily and is happy to see him, happy to see his teacher, happy to go to class, but one is busy trying to evade it. So while there are temporary thrills in a lot of things people seek, the general expression of a person, you can see it in a person. When a person is doing well, a certain expression. And that, to a certain degree, this idea of gufei aveira, that there's negativity in the world, and when a person's negative, it lands on him, he's the guf of that negativity. A negative person appears to me, is usually unhappy. He may disagree, but it seems to me that negative people are unhappy. At any rate, let's move on to one more. Mishnah Tes. Chayera ba'loilam ashur shav v'achil Hashem. The chayera comes to the world because of the aveira of swearing improperly and chil Hashem. Now, this idea is that the difference between man and an animal is the kayach memala, is the ability to speak, and if a human being misuses his speech, so then the Chaya has no fear of him. Golus Balailam, Alavaidis Avaidazara, Gilioray Sashikhastamin. Naturally the three worst Averis send Kla Yisrael to Golus. Vala Shmata Saaret, Shemitah's coming next year. And Shashmata Saaretz, naturally that's something to do with Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who's not in the faithful to Eretz Yisrael loses it. Barba Prokim Hadever Misrabe. There were three periods where the dever, the unfortunate pestilence, the idea of people dying would be found. Brevius, Ubishvius, the fourth and seventh year of Shemitah cycle. Mitzoy Shvius, following Shemitah, Mitzoy Achag, Shabbachal Shana Vishana. He explains. Brevius, Mibnei Maisa Oni, Shemishlishis. On the third and sixth year, there was a mitzvah to give 10% of your, crop to an Oni. Bishvius, Mibnei Maisa Oni, Shemishlishis. If somebody wasn't careful, it would bring punishment. Mitzoy Shvius, Mibnei Peri Shvius. Mitzoy Shemitah, because of Shemitah, Mitzoy Achag, Shabbachal Vishana, the Gezel Mount Nisanim. Mitzoy Achag, people would eat, would have a lot of, plenty to eat, so, and they would cheat the Mount Nisanim, that would be again, a kitrig, on the people. So this is something that somehow, was part of the cycle. It's interesting that when we give Meiser, what we call Meiser Ksafim, we give 10% of our profits. So that if a person has a grocery and he spends, he might take in $1 million a year, but he's probably, if he takes in $1 million a year, he's probably only making, $50,000 or $75,000, right? Because he's gotta pay for his product and his overhead, etc. So if a person could take in $1 million, if his profit is $100,000, then he'll give $10,000 for Meiser. What's interesting is that Meiser Peiris didn't work that way. A person gave from his crop. He didn't deduct expenses. Whatever wheat grew, well, in the Torah, wheat, or yeah, grapes, or olives, he would give Meiser. And sometimes that could be the difference between his profit and not making a profit. It was a tremendous, the sayin. Meiser Oni was only 2 years.
Maybe that's why. Because if you're not giving from the profit, but you're giving from the whole thing.
You mean it would be too much of an nesayin to give Meiser Oni every year?
Yes.
Okay, that could be.
Meiser Rishon you gave every year.
Meiser Rishon you gave every year, and, Master Shani, at least you can enjoy. You can enjoy. Alright, the bottom he says, Negezel Matnes Aniyim. He says, what's the language? Matanois Aniyim. Losha Matnes Yuvan. Now, of course, the simple pshat, the gift you give Aniyim. But he says, Derech Mashkosim Azai, a very different taj. Matana Yechoshev, Mashamazman Akadish Baruch Hu Leoshir Esa Ani. You hear that? What's Matnes Aniyim? Who's it a gift for? When you give tzedakah, it's a gift to, I would say, to the Ani. He says, no, it's a gift to the wealthy man. It's a gift to the wealthy man that the Ani comes his way and he's able to put away some of his money for the Olam HaEmes, for eternity. Hine Hashem Yisbarach Mishtamesh B'Kelim Shvurim. God uses broken utensils, so to speak. Lev Nishbar Shel Ani Hu Yakam Oid L'mayla. The broken heart of the Ani is valuable in heaven. So God's utensil, he gives as a matana to the rich man, and if he steals the chelik of the ani, he affects the soul of the ani. So it's an interesting thing. There's a chazal, I think the way I'm expressing it is Rechaim Shmulevitz, I think. There's a chazal in Medrash Rus. It says, asked Rabbi Akiva, if God wants the Aniyim to be fed, why doesn't God feed them? Why are you feeding them? So he answered, he's Baba Basra, okay. To be Mezakeh, the wealthy man. In other words, if there be no Aniyim, how could we give tzedakah? So therefore, to be Mezakeh us, God created that the Aniyim in the world, so we who are not Aniyim are able to give the Aniyim. So he says, I think Rechaim Shalevitz says this, he says, you meet a poor man. So it looks like you're doing him a big favor. You're going to help him, you give him money for Shabbos. He says, what are you talking about? He's doing you the biggest favor. Because really, there should be no Aniyim. So God said, to help you, I'll make there should be some Aniyim in the world, so that you could have a schus. So imagine, just for your sake, he has to suffer and be an Ani a whole day, so that you should have who to help. So, it's an interesting way of looking at it, right?
That's why you got to give him money, because he's suffering so much.
Okay. The language, kovas keveyam nefesh, the Ramchal writes that God created the world lahitiv l'briyaisav, so that people could have good. And that's why when you help an Ani, you're sort of helping the purpose of existence to go on. The purpose of the world is that people should be able to have benefit. And for character, when you hold back, It's kaveya as kaveya nefesh. You sort of hold back the soul or the essence of what's supposed to be there. Okay, Mishnah Yud, probably the most important Mishnah in all of Pirkei Avos. Did we ever say that about a different one? No, look at that. Most important Mishnah in behavior, in human behavior. Arba midos ba'adam. Four types of people. Ha'emer shali shali b'shalcha shalcha. All right, zumida ben. The average mida is, I say, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. Typical American, yeshayim zumida sadai. That needs an explanation. If I say what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours, that's sadai. So let's hold on. Shali shalcha v'shalcha shali. If I say what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine, that's a socialist. Right? Amoretz. It's an Amoretz. It's Narishka. Shali shalcha v'shalcha shalcha chassid. If I say what's yours is yours and what's mine is yours, that's a very giving person, a righteous man. Shalcha shali shali shali. That's pretty bad. That's a Russian. Okay, so the Mishnah is pretty, it's something to work on. Nevertheless, in these explanations, midas sadaim, to say shali shali, v'shalcha shalcha. The way Rav Pam used to explain this is that most people think of themselves as good people. Nobody thinks of himself as an evil person. Everyone thinks of himself as a good person and a correct person. And a person who's correct understands what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. He said that the rishis starts when the focus is on shali shali. When a person is very worried that what's mine is mine, that I should get everything that's mine, when he has that focus on shali shali, before the shalcha shalcha, then he ends up, that's where he ends up, treading on the line where slowly, slowly, things go the wrong way. It says that zenehen of zenechas is umida sadaim. If you can benefit, and I have no loss by your benefit, that's me the sadaim. If I don't know, what does that mean? That means, let's say, I go to Israel for 2 weeks. And you're my neighbor. You want to park in my driveway. I'll let you. Why don't I let you? Because shali shali. Look, I don't think of myself as a Rasha. I'm not a bad person. It's shali shali. What's mine is mine. It's my driveway. I don't want you in my driveway. So that's me. The Chazal say, if Zenehen of Izele Chaser, if you can benefit someone without a loss and you don't do it, that's Midah Sadaim. That's a Midah that brings destruction upon the world. So that it's the focus on the Shali Shali, which is the Midah Sadaim. That's the way he explained it. Alright, at the bottom he brings Shali Shalcha v'Shalcha Shali Amaretz. If someone says mine is yours, yours is mine, what's a Leimer? But Neinayach Gamke, the Stavol Adin, Kamaimer Chazal. There are 7 mitzvahs B'nei Nayach. People have a hard time remembering the 7, but they are the 3 cardinal sins, which is Gili Aroyesh, V'chastam, and Avodah Zarah, the 3 sins for which we have to give our lives. And then Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet is the way to remember. Aleph stands for Eivor Menachai. Beis Birchas Hashem, cursing the name of God. And Gimel is Geneva. And Dalet is Dinim. But Bnei Nayach are commanded to have a set of laws, a set of just laws. That's called Dinim. So he says, they're not commanded. We are given the Torah, which tells us our laws. The Bnei Nayach, Rak Masha Sechel Geyser, they have a right to create their own Dinim. If they're unjust laws, the Chayav Misa, Zehamida L'Bnei Nayach. And that is the rule for the Bnei Nayach. Avo. Yisrael, Nitzdavu al pi Torah, called in Befrat. Kal Yisrael are given the precise mitzvahs. K'may shekasev magid var v'yakeh, chukov mishpatim li Yisrael. Hashem gave chukim u'mishpatim to the Jews. Lo yosachein l'chol goy. The nations are allowed to make their own rules. Ki l'bnei Nayach nimsa rak el sichlam. Bnei Nayach are allowed to use their intellect to create mitzvahs. Hine amaris mi Yisrael shem esnaig bedinim al pisecha al pitlay al pitayra lachalias al pitayra lahepach. Somebody who, and this is a common problem, that when people, when it comes to chayshemishpat rules, people think al pi seichel. They don't think al pi the laws of the Torah. When you think al pi sechel and not according to the laws of the Torah, that's amoretz. The goyim are allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. I once was in a case, someone here in shul had a disagreement with someone else. So they agreed to go to a din Torah. The din Torah was, the fellow here in shul asked me to represent him, and the other fellow chose his rav, and we together, I wasn't his lawyer, and we went together, we met, and both sides, each side presented his arguments, and they walked out. So I turned to the fellow, and I mentioned a certain Gemara that I think this is a case of what it says in the Gemara. So this fellow says to me, I think we should better try to figure out who could afford to take the loss more. Who could afford to take the loss more. That's what he said to me. I said, what? He said, well, you know, one of them is wealthier, one of them is poorer, so incredible. This is the way he sat down to a din Torah. I couldn't understand it. So that's, B'nai Nachar, allowed to do that. You know, they're allowed. So he's saying that you don't follow Dinei HaTorah. Every part, most of Chayshim Mishpat is logical, but every part of Chayshim Mishpat has some aspect of Chayk. It's never completely human logic, and it's important to know when it comes to financial things, besides the fact that when it's your money, somehow logic always seems to be on your side, you understand? But besides that, even without it, without Chukei HaTorah, it's a very, without Shulchan Aruch, it's very hard. And sometimes you can hear an argument, it sounds good, and you think about it later, and you realize that you once learned a sugya that says the reverse. So that's an important thing to know.